The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network,
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Hey folks, Bob here. Don't just see Peter Pan Live, let it surround you. Peter Pan Live in the 360 Theater, now playing in the DC area on the biggest surround CGI theater stage in the world. Find out more at peterpan360.com and keep listening. In just a few minutes, we'll tell you how you can enjoy this amazing experience for up to 50% less.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Dear Lord Baby Jesus, we also thank you for my wife's father, Chip. We hope that you can use your baby Jesus powers to heal him and his horrible leg. And it smells terrible, and the dogs are always bothering with it. Dear tiny infant Jesus.
Hey, you know, sweetie, Jesus did grow up. You don't always have to call him baby. It's a bit odd and off-putting to pray to a baby.
Well, look, I like the Christmas Jesus best, and I'm saying grace. When you say grace, you can say it to grown-up Jesus or teenage Jesus or bearded Jesus or whoever you want.
I like to picture Jesus in a tuxedo T-shirt because it says, like, I want to be formal, but I'm here to party, too. Because I like to party, so I like my Jesus to party.
I like to picture Jesus as a ninja fighting off evil samurai.
I like to think of Jesus like with giant eagle's wings and singing lead vocals for Lynyrd Skynyrd with like an angel band. And I'm in the front row and I'm hammered drunk.
We're having fun cause we're number one. And the part that makes us smile is making friends all around the world, singing up and down the dial.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
I like shooting skis. Strength.
It is Tuesday, June 30, 2015. My brother Brian's birthday. Happy birthday, Kid Future.
Happy birthday.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I am Bob Seska. That is Chez Pazienza sitting right there.
Hey there.
We are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best damn bath and body products in the entire universe. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. Need a lawyer? Better call Bo. He's the best ever. Bowen Law Group is giving you free legal advice. This is amazing. Go to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez and send in your legal questions to Bo Bowen, courtesy of the show. It's free of charge to all of our listeners. If you're being sued by Chuck C. Johnson, go and talk to Charles Bowen. He'll help you out. In fact, he's loving the idea of helping out anyone who's being sued by Chuck C. Johnson. Just want to pass that along. Okay, make sure to support the show at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. We're on our way. We're about $25 away from the $2,100 mark a month on Patreon, which is f***ing fantastic.
Yay. Hey, did you see that there's a new trailer out for Snowden?
Yes, I saw it. And it was, as melodramatic as I expected.
Snowden.
One Nation. Under surveillance. You know, it's just like, oh my God, really? You're going to do the One Nation under blank line? Please. Yeah, that's going to be a real hagiography.
Yep.
Because it's going to cover his life. It's going to cover, like, when he was in the Army, then when he was in the CIA.
Because he's such a fascinating person.
I hope they show him acting like a paranoid nutbag in the hotel room like it was in Citizen 4. That's why I earned a whole new respect for Laura Poitras. I swear to God, I was very critical of Laura Poitras up until I saw that movie. And then when she, I think, was brave enough to show Snowden acting so paranoid and so freaked out in that hotel room that he was, you know, he was hiding under his hoodie with his, you know, over his laptop. So he was fixing Greenwald's computer, basically, just doing Greenwald tech
with
support.
With his tinfoil hat on his head. To make sure they can't, you know, the thought police can't intercept his thoughts.
Yeah. And
the government, they can do that. They could do that, you know.
Oliver Stone was much better when he was just high as a kite on cocaine all the time.
Yep.
And I think that was, we talked about that before, how movies were just better with cocaine.
Yeah, we absolutely. When half of Hollywood, when they were all totally, completely high, as opposed to just kind of high like they are now.
Yeah.
Now they drink a lot of, like, you know, coconut water, and they do yoga and crap instead of just doing piles of blow.
Flavored teas and things like that. Just not fun. You just got to, you know what, you got to do the Tony Montana mountain of blow in front of you. If you're planning planning a movie like this, or you're planning especially like an action-adventure movie, blow.
Right.
See, now, don't do drugs, kids, but Hollywood directors, do all you want, please.
Sure.
I mean, can you imagine what the Avengers would have been like if there had been cocaine involved? I mean, a lot of cocaine.
Amazing. It would have been like the film version of Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. They would have cast, instead of casting who they did, they would have cast like Peter Frampton and the Bee Gees.
And I'm convinced that Mad Max, George Miller was high as a kite the entire time.
It could. You know what though? It was too well put together. Movies are completely insane. I want a Hollywood back where every movie pitch is literally, all right, listen. Here's what it is. It's cocaine meets cocaine. Perfect. Go. Green light.
I mean, I'm thinking, like, I mentioned this before, when the last time this subject came up. I'm convinced that Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, Steven Spielberg and George Lucas were just their sinuses were just swollen and their nose was ready to collapse because they were doing so much blow while making that movie. And that's a great movie. I mean, all of those early Spielberg movies, if he wasn't sucking it down like, you know, water, I'd be amazed.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we've got a gigantic show and lots of politics to talk about. Chez is finally back from his road trip. How you doing? You're just like, you're freshly back. I mean, you guys just walked in the door like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not happy to be back.
No.
Hello.
Right.
No, seriously. The last week has been a vacation.
Yeah.
It's been a vacation. I haven't had a vacation in years.
And it looks like a spectacular vacation. I mean, yeah, one beautiful
really
vista
nice.
After another, and you're finding all these great spots. There's nothing better than sort of a road trip vacation where you just drive and see where the road leads you. Is that sort of the, or did you guys have that mapped out?
No, we knew we were going to go to Vegas, and we knew that we were going to, go to the Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, we didn't know whether we were going to go. We were originally going to go all the way out to Holbrook, Arizona and see the Petrified Forest. We changed our minds and went to Flagstaff.
Mm-hmm.
And we were originally, I can't remember what the hell else we were going to do. We wound up, instead of going all the way out further in Arizona, we doubled back and went to Lake Havasu, which we had not planned on at all, and had a great time there. Had a really terrific, 24 hours in Lake Havasu.
Do you have any recollection whatsoever of our naked after party from Friday?
I do, of course. I remember all of it. Okay. I don't black out.
Well, someone asked on Twitter, so I thought I'd just pass along that question.
No, I remember all of it. It's, you know, it's just relaxing by the pool and just nothing to do but, you know, drink a little bit and sleep late and have fun and lay out and get sun, and it's all wonderful. And that's what we've done for the past 3 days.
Oh, God. I am so there. I am so ready for that. It is unbelievable how ready I am for something like that. But first, we got to do this. Welcome back from vacation, Chez. Here's some election news for you.
Welcome, Chris Christie, illustrious number 14.
Chris Christie and his ice cream cone are running for president.
14 people now looking for president as a Republican.
Yeah.
14.
14 candidates.
Is that the most in history? It has to be.
I think so.
One party, absolutely.
I mean, usually, and this is in past years, there have been, you know, 5, 6, maybe even 7 hopefuls. And then there was all the riffraff, like the nobodies and, you know, just the people you never hear of, and Ron Paul. I mean, we forget now that Rand Paul is like one of the top names in the GOP, that his dad was like the joke candidate every time he ran. Not to, of course, the Rand Paul revolutionaries, re-lovelutionaries, whatever they were called. But to the rest of us, he was just the silly guy. He was like the Mike Gravel. He was the also-ran nobody. Yeah, just a crank who was just running for the attention. But now, I mean, his son, who's basically the same as Ron Paul, is a very serious candidate. That's how far we've come in just 4 years. Because four years ago, it was Ron Paul who everyone was laughing at on the stage.
Reince Priebus has to be his pants.
Yeah.
Has to be. This is so bad for the party.
Well, like I've been saying.
To be seen, it looks like a clown show. I mean, and I'm not talking simply about simply about the candidates running, who they are, but I'm talking about the fact that there are 14 candidates. The whole party is in chaos to that extent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, what it does, and I don't think this has occurred to anybody, but the fact of the matter is that the more candidates get into the race, and we still have Kasich still to go, Ohio Governor John Kasich. I mean, there's still more people that are going to climb in. Last Thursday, when Charles Johnson was filling in for you, we talked about Bobby Jindal joining the race, for God's sake.
Right.
And by the way, he's totally stepped in it. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But
yeah, I mean, but to hear half of these people, like Huckabee is such a... When he says, when I'm president, there's something between... If you weren't such an absolutely hateful bastard, mm-hmm. I would say that I'd almost feel sorry for him.
Yeah.
He's like he's like that joke American Idol contestant that gets up there that you know is never going to make the cut, and they put him up there specifically to mock him. Well, why do you think you should go to Hollywood? Because I'm the greatest singer of all time.
Yeah, right.
No, you're not, dude. You're completely lacking in self-awareness.
Who's that
and
one?
That's what Huckabee is.
Who's that one American Idol guy, Donald Hung? Or William Hung, was it?
William Hung.
Yeah. Mike
These
Huckabee's
people are
the
all
way.
The William Hung of, of politics.
But they don't realize it. And the Republicans aren't regarding them that way. There's no Republican effort to weed out the riffraff here. So therefore, you've got every prominent Republican running for president. I go back to my mantra. If every Republican is qualified to be president, then none of them are.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's the impression everyone's getting. They're getting
exactly
the impression that this is a party that is in disarray.
It is the party is absolutely just wrapped in chaos.
And
when you compare that to the fact that you got Bernie Sanders and that's cool, but and you got Martin O'Malley and that's fine,
yeah.
Whatever. But that Hillary is so far on top, and the only thing really sort of challenging her is Bernie and his politics, which is not necessarily a terrible thing,
right?
And it just looks. I mean, it looks like what it's kind of cool. It's like what happened. Remember when the Democrats were somebody who they couldn't even tie their own damn shoes?
Yeah, right. And now it's the Republicans. It really, really is. I mean, you can't – if you go around to the people at your office or something like that, go into the lunchroom, find your Republican friends, ask them who they think the leader of the Republican Party is. They won't be able to answer. There's not a single Republican, whether it's in the GOP nomination field or just in general, who you can look to as the standard bearer of the Republican Party. You ask a Democrat, Barack Obama. Well, that's the obvious answer. But if you were to eliminate the president as the obvious answer, the answer is obviously Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And so and I mean it's instantaneous. And I think a lot of this has to do with what happened 6 years ago, 2008, and the groundwork that Howard Dean did as the head of the DNC, expanding the party, making it like he organized the party in a way that is now resonating into the future. The Obama campaign organized the party in a way that is continuing to resonate. It is it's astounding to see the turnaround, especially since 2004 when we thought the Democrats couldn't do a goddamn thing. And now with these leaders stepping up and getting a handle on what the party is, what it stands for, and how it should campaign, it's fantastic to watch. And we're seeing the fruits of that now, especially with these clowns running for president. This is my favorite Ben Carson story so far. So what's happening? Ben Carson is actually boring himself out of the campaign. I don't know who his handlers are or what they're telling him, but they're not giving him very good advice. So he said this week, quote, "I don't really want to run for president." Or actually he said, I don't want to run for president. I'd rather just take you on a journey. A journey to Snoozeville. Close your eyes, go to sleep, have a drink of water. And then notice the patterns on the carpet as you get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. Ben Carson. So he said, I don't really want to do this, to be honest with you. Carson, one of a dozen or so conservatives who hopes to capture the GOP presidential nomination, said in a town hall crowd of more than 100 Iowa voters on Friday.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off. When you can say about a group of people running for president, when you could describe their number as or so.
A dozen or so.
That's a really bad thing.
He continued by saying, I was looking forward to a relaxing retirement, you know, with a beautiful home in Florida, by a golf course. I go out there and I talk to other golfers and I say, look at that green grass right there, soft, soft, luxurious green grass. Looks like a perfect spot for you to take a nap. Now I'm going to talk to you about floating over the IKEA and imagining all the funny Swedish names of the furniture inside. I'm Ben Carson.
God. So he's boring himself. He doesn't want to do it. I finally said, Lord, I don't want to do this. But if you're going to open the doors, I will go through with it.
Great. So he's basically Jesus.
He's basically
Jesus. Please, Lord, don't make me do this. It's Jesus in the garden.
All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, Lindsey Graham discusses his old girlfriends right after this. Aloha! Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. Oh my God, it's my favorite hibiscus soap. I love this hibiscus-shaped soap so much that Bubble Genius actually named it after me. It's Bob's favorite hibiscus soap. Go to bubblegenius.com/bob-hibiscus for soap that not only smells like Hawaii, but it massages your hands while you wash. I personally don't use any other hand soap, and I think you'll be hooked too. Only $8 for a 3-pack at bubblegenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's BOBANDCHEZ, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at bubblegenius.com.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
All right, there, the most badass bass line in the history of rock music. Chris Squire. That was the guy in the band who I thought was going to live to be like 110 years old and be playing with like replace all the other members of the band either with animatronic robots or just like a bunch of kids like fresh out of college or something.
It's going to be John Anderson because John Anderson is like a wizard from Middle Earth or something.
John Anderson is a hobbit. I mean, John Anderson is very much a hobbit.
He is.
I've had lots of long conversations with John Anderson. The things he believes are directly from, like, Middle Earth. I mean, he swore up and down, and it was probably from acid. I'll be the first to admit.
Awesome.
It was probably all acid-induced, but he was talking about the fairy kingdom. He likes to describe the light beings. He's seen the light beings, he used to always tell me. I've seen them. Okay, John. Take your word for it. You've seen the light beings. I don't even know what the light beings are, but he seems to have seen them a lot. So safe home to Chris Squire. He was a really good guy, really, really nice to me, and he didn't have to be. But Chris Squire, the first Yes member to go. It's really sad. Leukemia, 67 years old. Too goddamn young. 67? That's too young. All right, so moving along here with more fun election news. This is better right here.
Oh, boy.
Lindsey Graham.
Now I shooting ski.
Lindsey Graham, in an interview, discussed his... No, it was actually in his book. Talked about his old girlfriends.
Sure he did.
Trying too hard.
Yes. His old girlfriends, all of whom live in the Niagara Falls area.
Man. You know what's itching me today? My beard. My beard is really itchy. Lindsey Graham
Strength
said in his book, quote, I've never married.
Really?
I've never married. I guess I attribute that to timing too. I almost feel like I should do this in the character. The opportunity never presented itself at the right time. I never found time to meet the right girl, or the right girl was smart enough
not to have time for me.
You know what that is? That is directly from Behind the Candelabra. You know, that is. Everybody's, you know, I'm just waiting for the right girl.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It really is. With, you know, people just not seeming to, inexplicably not seeming to realize that he's completely gay.
Now, wait till you hear this next line. I was in my 20s, a kid from a mill town in South Carolina, living in an exciting moment in history, traveling to cities that seemed unbelievably exotic to me. I had two serious relationships.
Thailand.
I had two serious relationships while I was overseas. Also, a third relationship at Niagara Falls.
Two.
You wouldn't know them if I told you their names, because they're overseas.
One of them was a small Thai boy in a robe who kept throwing firecrackers while Sister Kristen played.
That's Cosmo. He's Chinese.
Yep. Sorry, Chinese. My bad. My apologies.
The relationship became serious quickly. At one point, I thought I would propose, or at least I entertained the idea. It wasn't to be, though. She was responsible for an aging mother in Vienna, and I was a South Carolina boy who needed to go home.
Wow. Oh, the drama. Listen to that. Listen to the drama.
Look, you know what? He's a U.S. senator. He could be hung like a raisin, and he could still be getting laid left and right if he wanted to.
Right. Absolutely.
He's a U.S. effing senator. Okay, let's get. Who does he think he's kidding? Please. I had two relationships, and they were anonymous overseas people.
I'll bet they were. One of them was through a small hole in a...
or either that, he starts playing the pronoun game. You wouldn't know who they were.
Yeah.
Who exactly, Senator Graham? Well, they were really nice, a nice person. You mean her. Right, they.
I'll never know who it was, since I don't know who was on the other side of that piece of wood that I stuck my through.
Jesus. Okay, so that's Lindsey Graham. God bless Lindsey Graham and his two sexual adventures in Czechoslovakia or wherever the hell it was.
Yep.
All right, now here's the best political story of the week. The absolute best political story of the week. Donald Trump was fired by NBC. Which, yes, of course, comes as a relatively surprising thing, because as you said on Facebook, NBC has let Donald Trump get away with saying things that are almost worse than saying that all Mexicans are rapists.
They have let Trump get away with much, much worse than that.
Oh yeah.
No, the thing is, number one, they know not to piss off Mexicans to begin with. They know not to piss off the Latino community in the United States, because it's very, very big.
Yeah.
Secondly, and probably most importantly, they own Telemundo. NBC has a duopoly, whatever you want to call it, with Telemundo. And so, yeah, you know what? They couldn't let him get away with it. It's strictly a financial thing. But when you think in terms of what Trump said – this is one of the least and it was incredibly offensive.
Yeah.
But one of the least offensive things that he's done over the past maybe 5 years. I mean, back in 2011, NBC essentially, you know, Lawrence O'Donnell pointed it out. NBC essentially colluded with him, mm-hmm, to keep information about whether or not he was going to run for president away from NBC News. I mean, and you know, right, here they were. He was threatening to run for president. He was a birther. He was calling out the president of the United States of America, mm-hmm, in what was so unbelievably, undeniably racist.
Yep.
And everybody was like, NBC, why are you still in business with this asshole?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he went on and on and on about the birther thing. And right, and which is as you said, terribly, terribly racist. Yeah. It drives the whole thing.
But now he upset a paying community that they really have to worry about.
Yeah.
Somebody they're in business with already, and his ratings are down. You know, he's kind of past his prime anyway.
And as I think we touched upon last week, I mean, the last two things that any Republican, and he clearly didn't get the memo when he signed on, the last two things any Republican should be talking about these days is rape and race. Those two things, that's the third rail now for the GOP. It's not even Social Security. It's those two things. You just don't, because they can't talk about it. And he somehow decided to derp his way into mixing them both together. Rape and race. Yeah. He screwed up big time. Big time. And so now he's basically kicked off of television, which I guess is fine, because now he's running his own television program called I'm Running for President.
Exactly. He's got his own reality show now.
The thing about Trump is, what I don't understand is how he's liked by anybody. And then I start to think about Americans in general, and I go, oh, that's why. That's why. Because he represents the worst of America. He's an arrogant, flashy idiot, and he's got too much money. He's a terrible businessman. Plus, he's got, you know, this whole self-aggrandizement, megalomania thing going on. And then it's, of course, the self-satirical vanity in the form of that ridiculous wig on his head.
Yeah.
And that's all America. That's the American dream, to be those things now.
Yeah.
He's reflecting.
And he's apparently suing. I'm reading this. Renee Rodriguez from the Miami Herald wrote this about Trump fighting back and suing Univision for $500 million. You know, Univision is Telemundo's competitors.
Right.
But still, that's, you know, he thinks he's going to get $500 million out of Univision. He has his head so far up his ass.
Yeah, I mean, again,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's not about money. It isn't.
So,
It's about keeping his name and his brand out there.
But, I mean, when did the Republicans fall in love with frivolous lawsuits? I was unaware of this lawsuit that he's going to file against.
Are you really going to call out hypocrisy from the Republicans and be shocked by that?
Yeah, I guess I am.
Are you really going to react like, oh, my God, that's how can I imagine that?
Well, it's become standard operating procedure. That's for sure. This is just what they do. They say one thing on the campaign trail, then they turn around. They want tort reform. They want to go after the trial lawyers. But then they can't wait to hire the next nearest trial lawyer to go after, you know, Univision, or to sue the president.
Of course.
Or to challenge Obamacare.
Yeah.
It's always something. They have to be – they're like – you know, I said on the Stephanie Miller show this morning, they're like Chuck C. Johnson now. They're like Twitter trolls who just go around talking about what's actionable. Oh, you said something mean about me, so I'm going to sue you. Like, good Lord, you bunch of whiny diaper babies. Right. You can't fight a normal political shovel fight, so you got to pull out the big guns and sue people. It's like the last resort of a political coward. You can't pass legislation to overturn Obamacare. Too effing bad. You lose. That's the bottom line. You're done. Step off. You don't just get, well, we lost. We can't do this. We tried this 75, 80 times to overturn Obamacare. We can't do it. So where's lawyers, trial lawyers? Come on over. We got lots of money. We're gonna sue the president. We're gonna sue Obamacare because of seven lines in the what, 2,000, 8,000 word text. How long is the Obamacare bill? It's got to be. I mean, didn't they once show it like as a giant stack of pages to undermine the law? They said, "Well, look how giant this is." Seven words they used to sue Obamacare over, having to do with subsidies, and they lost. They lost again. So this is what they do now. This is what they do. They're a proud party with their 12 or dozen or so candidates.
Yep, 12 dozen or so.
All right, we're going to take a break. Come back with more show right after this.
I'm presidential candidate and eye doctor, Senator Rand Paul. And I'm the host of Celebrity Apprentice and possible presidential candidate Donald Trump. You know, we're not just passengers aboard the GOP's 2016 clown car. We also want to fix your hair with the Trump and Rand Hair Replacement System. Order today and get the world's finest hair pieces. Our hair replacement systems come in a variety of styles to choose from. The Trump collection includes the Fiery Forehead Merkin, the Double Bleached Anus, and the 7-layer comb over. It goes forwards, it goes backwards, left to right, right to left. That's razzle dazzle, baby. And if that's not your bag, how about these styles from the Rand Paul collection? The Eraser Head, the Harpo Marx, the Cockeyed Roadkill, or John Galt's pubes, because you have the liberty to wear pubic hair on your head. What about these popular Trump styles? The high and swirly, the swooping helmet, the golden spaghetti, the banana boat, and the upside down jellyfish. Don't get stung by high prices. For a limited time only, you can also get the following Rand Paul styles for as much as 10% off. The Libertarian Squiggle Patch, the Loopy Bedhead, the Dude Fro, the Inescapable Curls of Humanity, and the Hairnet Full of Monkeys. In fact, I'm wearing the Hairnet Full of Monkeys right now. Everyone's saying our prices are insane. Meatloaf, do you think our prices are insane?
Absolutely.
You know what else is insane? These fantastic Trump styles. The retarded Barney Rubble, the Slip and Slide, the Soppin' Wet Cat, and the Backwoods Conan. It's Conan O'Brien's exact hairstyle, but worn backwards and inside out for that signature Trump look. And don't forget the signature Rand Paul look. The misshapen Garfunkel, the awkward show poodle, the 70s porno perm, the corkscrew junkyard, the flip-flop mop top, the tangled extension cords, and try your hand at the mystery grab bag. Reach into my sack, and the first hairpiece you grab is free. But look out, I dropped a family of possum in there, too, and you won't immediately be able to tell the difference. Only with the Trump and Rand hair replacement system, where you'll get nothing but the best, worst hairpieces in all of America.
The Trump and Rand hair replacement system. Order now by calling 1-800-BAD-PIECE and leave off the last E for, ew, that's a crappy toupee. Order now.
Imagine being surrounded by the spectacular scenery of Neverland while Peter Pan actually flies over your head. It's Peter Pan Live in the 360 Theater on stage now in Tysons Corner, Virginia. And because you listen to this podcast, you can enjoy this amazing experience for up to 50% off the regular ticket price. Just go now to peterpan360.com and enter the code PETER to save up to 50% on up to 6 tickets, any performance. It's your only chance to see it in the D.C. area, so get your tickets today and get them for less. And by the way, tickets are now on sale for the upcoming shows in Houston, Texas. Go to peterpan360.com and enter the code PETER. Then prepare yourself and your family to be surrounded by the magic of Peter Pan Live in the 360 Theater.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
This segment of the Bob and Chez Show is brought to you by our Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon.com, enter the site using our link just below the logo at BobSeska.com, and we get a small commission from everything you buy, costs you nothing, and helps support the show. Thank you in advance. Okay, so Bobby Jindal, this is all part of the... This Bobby Jindal news is going to be part of the Republican freakout on same-sex marriage that continues today. Bobby Jindal said that he wants to eliminate the Supreme Court. Did you see this?
Yeah, that's I'm shocked by that. I didn't get what I wanted. Yeah, there's that. There's that, and of course, there's the what is the push to make Supreme Court justices have to run for re-election.
Yep, there was that one. I mean, it's
which is the worst idea ever.
Yeah,
because the last thing you want, the whole reason that they are appointed is so that they never have to, so that you can never expect them to make decisions based on something awful like trying to get re-elected.
That's right.
The idea is that they are above the caprices of the people. Because
yeah,
there are some decisions that, quite frankly, should be out of the hands of the majority, because the majority of Americans are a bunch of fucking morons.
They shouldn't be political. They shouldn't be ideological. And that's the problem with some of the members of the Supreme Court right now. Scalia, I'm looking at Scalia mainly, and, right, and Clarence Thomas, who are nothing but political and ideological.
Exactly. When you watch the way that they rule these days, they go along, for the most part, they go along party lines, which is obscene.
Bobby Jindal said the Supreme Court is completely out of control, making laws on their own, which is a lie.
Yeah, I know.
And it has become
a total nonsense.
Public opinion poll instead of a judicial body. If we want to save some money, let's just get rid of the court, he said. This is a serious candidate for the Republican nomination.
No, he isn't. None of them are serious. That's
well, he thinks he's serious.
But I get what you're saying. No, you're right. Regardless, he's a governor, and he's a candidate for president of the United States, and this is the kind of crap he's talking about.
Can I take a second, again, to address this nonsense? And I'm talking specifically to any Republicans listening in right now. If you happen to be listening, and you're a Republican, your people are exploiting the stupidity of your fellow Republicans. Not you, necessarily. You're listening to this show. That's worth something. But the fact of the matter is that whether it's Huckabee or here Jindal talking about this making laws on their own nonsense, they're assuming that you, Republicans, are not smart enough to understand basic 8th grade history. Marbury versus Madison. Judicial review, which is precisely what this decision was, and even the decisions that I didn't like that happened this week. You know, the air pollution decision, for example. Is that the Supreme Court making laws? No. Supreme Court is reviewing a law. And they said, nope, these regulations by the Obama administration, not constitutional. We strike it down. Am I crying like a little whiny diaper baby because, you know, because of this? I'm not happy about it. But I do understand, because I go to school, that it's... This is the way things work. You can't... But they're going around telling their people that the Supreme Court is making laws. It's not making laws. It's just saying you can't... It's unconstitutional to say that same-sex couples can't get married.
This is more of that sort of Fox News-style Republican just nonsense about how things are, which is that they keep preaching to their people that the majority of Americans hate this and the majority of Americans don't want this, and if the Supreme Court rules against it, we're for it. The Supreme Court, there's something wrong with them. We have to end them. That's insane.
I'm Bobby Jindal. I'm running for president, and I think you're a fucking moron. That's what he might as well be saying. The same with Huckabee. They might as well just be saying, well, because I think you're a raving idiot, I'm just going to tell you a bunch of bullshit, and then you'll believe it. Yeah. Meanwhile, this was fun. Today, Bobby Jindal, again, horribly handled by his people, another candidate who just can't be handled by his people, right there with Ben Carson, decided to do a hashtag today on Twitter, the hashtag AskJindal. And of course, you put something like out there.
I can only imagine what a wonderful disaster that was.
It went horribly, horribly awry. Let's see. Mimographs on Twitter wrote, "Will your Obamacare replacement plan cover exorcisms, Bobby Jindal? Hashtag Ask Bobby." Daily Banter's Tommy Christopher said, hashtag Ask Bobby, "Will you appoint a secretary of exorcisms or perform them yourself?" W. Wife writes on Twitter, "When you released the Religious Freedom Executive Order, did you sign it in the blood of demons or the tears of angels? Hashtag Ask Bobby. Rory Clay, "About 10 years ago, I took a leak in the urinal next to you at a restaurant in New Orleans on Father's Day. Do you remember this? Hashtag Ask Bobby." I don't know why that one cracked me up. Maggie Pollitt also tweeted, "Why are you letting your team run your campaign into the ground? Hashtag Ask Bobby." And that was the best one, because talk about derping it up. You just do not put something out like that and expect it to go well at all. It's Twitter etiquette 101. Stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. Bobby Jindal's really stupid. All right. That's enough of singing for today, I promise. Meanwhile, Utah Republicans want to get rid of all marriages. This was interesting. They don't want just keep same-sex couples from being married. They're just willing to throw the whole bathwater out with the baby. Say, screw it! If those people get married, nobody's getting married. According to Utah's local Fox affiliate, a bill being drafted that would end government agencies' involvement in issuing marriage licenses.
Cool. Awesome.
Again. I mean, just holding your breath, stomping, dancing around with your pee pants children, all full.
They refuse to accept defeat. And we've talked about, think about the number of times that we've talked about this regarding other subjects besides this one.
Yeah.
Where they won't give up. They'll never give up.
Nope.
They will find ways around this. They will keep stomping their feet. They will pull end runs. They will gerrymander. They will do anything humanly possible to get their way.
Exactly. And this is the only way they can do it. And they know it. And they've actually been quite successful at that in the past. Look at all of the anti-choice laws, anti-reproductive freedom laws.
This time is especially when it comes to gay marriage. I think that the thing that's most interesting is that the tide is changing. You know, they're on the wrong side of, not just on the wrong side of history, but they're really on the wrong side of the popular vote on this and sort of the conventional public wisdom.
Yeah.
They think they are. They think that there are millions and millions and millions of people out there who just despise the idea of gay marriage because it's against their Christian values. And there are quite a few of them. There are. But there aren't as many as they think.
Nope. Well, again,
and there are fewer of them by the day.
It's the mistake of the Tea Party is what it is. This is symptomatic of the Republican Party's problem since 2008 and perhaps earlier. They mistake volume, amplification, whatever you want to call it, for actual numbers, for demographic size. And that's not the case at all.
You can actually say they mistake volume for volume.
Yeah, precisely. And so they're miscalculating. They miscalculated on the polls because they mistook yard signs for actual favorability.
Right. And they live in a bubble. They live in a bubble where they only listen to themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, they live in this echo chamber. And the problem with that is that they've actually come to believe that their side is huge, mm-hmm. huge and huge. Angry.
Yeah.
And Fox News tells them that. Most people don't want this, just like most people think that Barack Obama is running this country into the ground, which is absolute horse shit.
It really is. But they insist because Rush Limbaugh has a gigantic microphone in front of his fat face, that because he's screaming about it, that must mean millions and millions and millions of people are also screaming about it, when it isn't
but
that
they're
big.
They're wrong. Yeah. But they're wrong. I mean, they're on – I've said this for years now. I've said this for – 5 years, I think, when I was still writing for DXM, maybe even more than that, where I said, you know, this is a gay marriage nationwide and an acceptance of gay marriage, an actual nationwide, for the most part, acceptance of gay marriage always was an inevitability.
Yep.
It was going to happen. It is going to happen at some point. They have lost. They lost years ago. Mm-hmm. The tide has turned. There are more people who don't think that this is a big deal anymore. And all of this screaming and yelling is for absolutely nothing.
Yep.
They've lost. They're done.
You watch. There's going to be in the first debate, which is coming up in August. First debate, there's going to be a question that's going to say, by show of hands, are you going to uphold and adhere by the Supreme Court decision on same-sex marriage? I'm going to tell you that very few will raise their hand saying that they will uphold it.
And just think about what that means. Think about in a country, and I mean, this is not, I go and listen to other sources, and I go out and listen to other people, you know, because I don't want to live in a bubble.
No.
But the fact is that most people, not, you know, there are still tons of holdouts. But, you know, certainly a majority of people now don't have an issue with it. They either embrace it or they don't care enough to worry too much about it.
Nope.
It's not a hill that they want to die on. But the people who do care about it, they are vehement and for absolutely the right reason. They're incredibly they feel incredibly strongly about it. And so when they get up there, when these morons, these Philistines get up there and raise their hands and say, yeah, I'm going to, you know, bring back the traditional definition of marriage, that's going to appeal to a very small group of people and a dwindling group of people, group of people that is losing power by the second.
Well, by the way, to his credit, Lindsey Graham was one of the candidates who said that he would abide by the Supreme Court's ruling.
Of course, because he wants to get married.
Exactly. We got to take one last break. Back with more show after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
All right, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us this week, our Tuesday show. And thanks for supporting Peter Pan.
I'm so busy. I'm missing USA versus Germany right now, aren't I?
I think you are. You can always turn it on in the background.
I will. I'll as soon as I'm done with this, I'll go out there and turn it on.
Well, before you go off to watch the soccer
game. I know that it's nil-nil at 47 minutes in.
Here is something that I was actually so appalled by that I was frankly reluctant to play it on the show. Something from Fox News Channel and the O'Reilly Factor, and specifically from probably the second douchiest person on that network. And I would say I put Greg Gutfeld as maybe the douchiest guy in that network. I mean, there are other stupid people. There's Steve Ducey and Brian Kilmeade and all those idiots. But in terms of the douchebag quotient, there's like Greg Gutfeld, and right on his heels is that guy Jesse Waters.
Oh, yeah. He is a douche.
Yeah. Who was originally sort of Bill O'Reilly's intern or something. I don't know what the hell he was.
He was Bill O'Reilly's Renfield. That's right, exactly. How I used to refer to him.
Yep. So Bill O'Reilly sent Jesse Waters out, and I'm sure Jesse Waters did this on his own volition, but let's just say, because Jesse Waters is sort of Bill O'Reilly's Dan Bedondi,
right,
that he was assigned to do this. So Jesse Waters goes to Penn Station to do a report on homeless people who have no place to go, so they routinely will set up a little camp or whatever, their little, you know, cardboard box or whatever in the corner under stairwell or something like that at Penn Station in New York City.
Yeah.
This is evidently all kinds of terrible to Bill O'Reilly and Jesse Waters. And Jesse Waters did this report, and I probably won't play the whole thing, but I'm going to give you enough of a taste of it because I think this may go down in history. And we've had a lot of clips like this, but this one may go down in history as perhaps the most vile segment I've ever seen on Fox News Channel. And I'm not exaggerating when I say this.
We said that literally like 2 weeks ago.
I know, but man, they keep topping themselves.
They do.
Because Jesse Waters actually talks to homeless people and kind of does. Remember we were joking about Chris Hansen? I used to do those like ambush things with Catch a Predator. And so, what do you think you're doing here? Why are you here in the kitchen wearing nothing but a towel? And there's an underage girl in the next room.
Right, yeah.
This is basically what Jesse Waters does to homeless people.
So he's just being a condescending prick to homeless people.
Exactly. He's going around and he's shaming homeless people who are clearly not in their right mind or high or just really, really down and out. This is why Republicans will never fucking be funny, because they punch down.
You do not punch down.
You do not go out and ridicule homeless people to their face and then back that with interviews of suburban white families saying, "Ew, one touched me. There was a homeless person came up to me and touched my skin and I just felt oogie." Yeah. Like, it's such So here's a segment which I've just labeled Fox News Homeless Shaming.
In Penn Station, you're not allowed to loiter, sleep on the floor, or panhandle. These violations should get you either kicked out, fined, or thrown in jail. You live here. Do you sleep here, too?
Yes.
Are you allowed to sleep here?
Yes.
What are you doing here at Penn Station today?
Oh, my God.
It's like a frat boy mocking somebody.
Yeah. You know,
it really is.
He's talking, this is an older African-American homeless woman who we're later going to find out makes money by prostituting herself. And he's like, "So what are you doing here, huh? What are you doing? You're not supposed to be here because it's rules. Don't you see? Can't you read the rules? No loitering. No loitering, old homeless lady."
Wow.
What a phenomenal dick. There should be a stack of mail a mile high.
But there won't be. I'm at this point now, but Jesse Waters deserves it. He's always deserved, because this whole thing is physically accosting people.
Right.
And he's always deserved to be punched in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
He's always deserved to have somebody just go off on him and just deck him.
And you know,
and it would have been, it's too bad, because it would have been awesome if it was a homeless guy, because there's nobody they can sue.
By the way, he's going around in like this gray, very smart, tailored suit with a, you know, like a fuchsia tie.
Oh, lovely.
And he's in, this suit is worth more money than I think a lot of these homeless people have seen in the last 10 years, right? And he's going, so what are you doing? Can't you, yeah, rules. Doug's rules.
It's just, it's this sense of like mocking superiority you get from them, which is, oh, man. Yeah, it's like they're all fucking overgrown frat boys.
They really are. They really are. And it gets worse. I mean, because you can really tell that they feel utterly cornered. It's like, again, it's like Chris Hansen saying, what are you doing here?
I've gotten to an interesting point lately, and I've thought about writing a piece on it, but I kind of don't want to because I don't want to be a dick about my relationship with him. Mm-hmm. But I really am sort of in a place now where I have a problem with Shep Smith being on Fox.
Yeah, he doesn't.
I feel like Fox has done so much, especially recently, just over the past few weeks. Fox News has done so much, just aired so much despicable crap and pumped so much poison into the American cultural bloodstream, certainly the media bloodstream, that I don't know how anyone can stay there.
Yeah.
How anyone with any sort of sense of self-respect can stay there. And I say this as somebody who, you know, I've said this many times. I go back a long ways with Shep, and he and I are good friends, and I love him dearly. I think he's a freaking great guy and a really, really good journalist and a really upfront, you know, he's just a really, really talented, really level-headed guy.
Yeah.
And normally, I always figured I liked – believe it or not, I liked him at Fox. Mm-hmm. I liked him there because I felt like he was the voice of reason. He is the one – he's the fly in the ointment that's desperately needed at that network.
Yeah.
But over the past few weeks, they've done things that are – put it this way. I mean, it's all – they've always – I'm not going to be naive. They've always done horrific things. They always have. Mm-hmm. But since the shooting in Charleston, since that whole fiasco where they tried so hard to blame it on everything but what the obvious – you know, the obvious inconvenient truth was, I feel like I've seen them do so many segments that are just way beyond the pale. And I don't know how someone can work there now and not have to go, no matter how much they pay you, and not have to go home and take a shower. And I would love nothing more than to see Shep leave as a matter of, as a sort of sign of protest.
That's right.
I would love that. And obviously, if he stays, that's fine. It's his choice. But I would love to see that happen because Shep bailing out, I mean, I'm sure there's a non-compete in his contract. But if he could find a way, you know, if he could find a way to leave clean, I cannot think of any network, broadcast or cable in this country that would scoop him up in a heartbeat.
Right. Right.
For as much or if not more money than he's making right now.
Let's we only got a few minutes left in the show. Let's get to the rest of this tape. And we're not going to get to all of it, but just a couple more minutes.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Not much. They don't cans and bottles.
How much can you make off recycled cans and bottles?
You make $10-$20 a day.
And I survive off of tips that people give me.
Do the authorities here allow you to sleep here?
They let you sleep up until a certain time.
Do the authorities ever give you a hard time?
No, they don't bother me. I bother nobody.
How long have you been homeless?
Oh, it's been like since 2005.
You don't have any health insurance?
Oh, sure. They give you that when you get on welfare.
How'd you wind up in this situation?
Drugs.
What kind of drugs?
Bad.
How do you make money?
Prostitution.
How do you make money to get by?
Oh, I have a pretty good stipend from the federal government.
Do you have any addictions?
There it is.
Yeah, that's what they're looking for. They made sure to get that in there.
Yep, that's it. Here we are. We're paying for these homeless people.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he did everything short of just saying, well, you know, here's my buddy. This is Officer Pembry over here. Come on over here, Officer Pembry. Officer Pembry, these are homeless people illegally staying down here. You should arrest them now. Such a fucking cock. I've said the F word a lot on this show, I realize. But in this case, man.
He's a complete prick. He needs somebody to knock his teeth out.
Yeah, yeah. And again, like I said before, clearly these homeless people are not entirely with us. And yet he's embarrassing them.
This is the reason why I can't be Republican. Mm-hmm. Why, in spite of occasionally having sort of some, not all, but some conservative some conservative beliefs, I can't side with that side because it's shocking how little compassion they have as a party.
Yeah.
Just no compassion.
Well, take my word for it. We're going to play the rest of the tape on the postmortem show. We're just running out of time here. But it's more of that. Plus, he starts to talk to the suburbanites who are just all afraid. It turns into this thing where it turns into a public safety thing.
Right.
And you know, just by the way it's cut together, that they're painting a picture. Like, this should not be going on. De Blasio's got to crack down on the homeless people in Penn Station. And what we really should do is stick them outside in the sweltering July heat. Oh, God.
That's what Giuliani did.
Yeah, but the only thing that could make it worse is if it was February and he was doing this. Why don't you go sleep outside?
I mean, yeah. New York City has a massive homeless problem. There's no doubt about that. And trying to confront that is, go with God.
Yeah.
I don't know how it can be done. I have absolutely no idea. But I know that going in there and mocking them and, you know, being a condescending prick is not the way to portray this problem.
Right. I'm quickly looking up Jesse Watt. He doesn't. Oh, yeah, he is. He is on Twitter. He is at Jesse B. Waters. That's with two T's. JesseBWatters. Jesse Waters. I don't do this ever. I never do calls to action like this. But this is one of those, man, you know, we play the Fox and Friends clips and we laugh at them and we get outraged by their stupidity. But this is pure. What this guy did was to attack publicly people who are at their lowest possible point. You could not get lower than what these people are experiencing. And he went around and acted like a f***ing douche canoe, embarrassing them, calling them out, basically threatening them with arrest.
And the best part about it is, always keep this in mind about homeless people. You know nothing at all about them.
No.
They were once, for lack of a better term, and I don't mean to use this term in its derogatory sense, but they were once normal, quote-unquote normal.
Right. Okay, more about this on the Postmortem Show. Sign up at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on Thursday. Bye-bye.